Blog Talk Radio.
Check, 1, 2.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Come on in and have a seat. Welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is when you are welcome to call in and share your thoughts, share your concerns, share your challenges, share your triumphs, anything that you're facing as a underground indie artist or service provider to the artist. We want to hear from you. This is when you can put it on the table. And let's discuss it. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. This is your time to, just share your thoughts. The reason why I started this show is because I have a lot of sidebar conversations with artists from across the globe. You know, some of it's talking about the same thing, some of it's different, and I thought, you know, what better way to do it is bring it to the airwaves and let us all come together and share it. I was doing it every other Monday, you know, at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And then I decided, you know, I was being contacted by people saying that the time wasn't working for them, but they were interested in being involved. So I decided two Mondays out of the month, I would do it at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time. And then two Mondays out of the month, I'll do it at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time in hopes that, you know, we can reach more people that are wanting to, you know, get on the show and share their thoughts and concerns. There is a caller on the line. I'm going to just click on and see if there's a chance that they want to join in or if they're just listening. All right, caller from, I don't know, is this an international call, 012? Hello?
No,
you're on the air with Lady Flava.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, how are
you?
This is Paul from Seattle. You finally just got mine. So I'm actually here in Seattle, and I'm using Skype. I'm doing very well. I know I've been telling you your ship. I'm glad I'm able to do it now. And actually,
right.
A service provider, and actually got on my position in Apple Studio, and there's a place down called the Discovery Tool that does the and Apple certifications. The Apple and the certifications, see, this is the only school, quote-unquote school, that is certified in Washington State. And so I have the opportunity to change my career and started to follow my passion and get into digital store. And so I actually took some churches and some nonprofits here in Seattle and a couple of brothers I know, one being Gilbert Richardson, the African historian that you're aware of. I know another in L.A., his name is Frederick Yaudet, and he's what I can see open. And actually, I'm coming up to Seattle for African Association, Pan-African Technical Association. They're doing a fundraiser and a book drive. And we'll be talking about years of Ethiopian history. And Gilbert is in his museum exhibit and bringing in some technology. And so I'll stop rambling. And if you want to ask, it's full free.
For me, Paul, you're kind of breaking up. So I don't know if the listeners can hear you. I'm just going to ask the people in the chat room, can you by chance hear Paul when he's talking? If so, if somebody could just type and respond to me, because he's an amazing, interesting man. So I would love for you to hear what he has to share while he's on his break right now. So can somebody in the chat room type whether you can hear Paul or not? Okay, there's tons of people in the chat room.
Okay, I see. I'll keep going on. So I'm downtown for Republican and West Espresso.
Okay, so
they have free
so everybody, so,
and so
okay, so people are saying that they're not able to hear you, that you're breaking up.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Let's try this.
Okay, so
I'm talking too fast, yeah. I haven't said that. Oh, yeah, okay. So,
Okay, let me just tell people what I know about you, Paul. Paul is somebody who was a customer of mine at my coffee shop, Flavor Coffee House. And how I met him is he used to come hang out. And what I first learned about him is that he's an absolutely amazing photographer. As the time has gone by, I learned that he's a writer and that he's a poet, and so he has performed on my stage. And but more recently, since I closed my coffee house, I've really got to know and learn about Paul that he's a videographer, and he films just an array of documentary-type short films about some extremely interesting people around the Pacific Northwest, historians to politicians and just a variety of people. And so that's what I know about Paul at this point. So, Paul, are you still there? Okay, maybe he's calling in. There's a caller, so let me try this. Okay, caller from the 240, you're on the air with Lady Flava. Hello?
Oh, Lady Flava?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah, that's me again.
Yes.
What I did, I was using Skype, and I dropped off and called you through my cell phone. So
okay.
I'm actually in this cafe at the corner of Westlake and Republican, Empire Espresso, and they have free wireless here. The sounds are being cheap, and I'm using Skype and through my laptop, and it wasn't working very well.
That's
so.
All right.
So now
There's a lady who may be calling in today, and she always uses Skype when she calls in from Canada, and it's very, very clear. So I'm not sure.
I'm also using a Bluetooth headset. My Bluetooth headset to my Mac, using Skype, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, you got me now. So, thank you for the compliments. I really appreciate that because it's one of those things that I dabble in all this creative stuff, but I had this engineering side, research side, when I was working at this aerospace company here in Seattle and got reorganization out of a job. And so when that happened, I was like, okay, let me follow my passion because I would mentor students from the University of Washington, a NSBE member, National Society of Black Engineers, and I would tell them that your passion can bring the cash in. And when I would say that, I wouldn't mean it in the stereotypical, capitalistic, selfish way, but bringing the cash in to have a quality of life and to be happy with what you're doing. Because if you're enjoying what you're doing, it's not really a job. And so I had to bite the bullet and eat my own dog food and say, I've always liked creating video. I do a podcast for the Breakfast Group here in Seattle. And as you were saying, I have shot some things for the Langston Hughes Film Festival. And so I was like, okay, let me just go ahead and do it. And so I decided and have the opportunity to go to Discovery Tools downtown here in Seattle, one of the only certified Apple and Adobe places in Washington State where you can go get certified and some of the tools from Apple and Adobe for digital media. And so that's what I'm doing right now. Today is actually I'm closing out on Adobe After Effects. And so I'm having lunch right now. I'm returning to class in a couple of minutes here. So I figured I'd take the opportunity to give you a call. But here I am.
Well, I appreciate you calling, Paul. And one thing, you're very challenging for me because, I'm computer illiterate. So, you like to throw these technical things out at me, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. One thing I do have to agree with you, you've been telling me I should get an Apple, And, you know, now that I've struggled through all these challenges with my Dell, you know, desktop
right.
or my Dell laptop, which
right.
my Dell laptop is in the shop again for, I don't know, it's been serviced probably 3 or 4 times since I've had it in about a year and a half.
Okay.
So I know, you know, my business partner, he has an Apple, and just looking at the capabilities that his laptop has versus what I can do, yeah,
right.
I do realize I need that now. So, you know, that's something hopefully that'll happen in the near future. So
one of the benefits about getting an Apple, though, is because it has the Intel platform, it can
mm-hmm.
run Windows and Vista, so you can have both the Macintosh side and the Windows side. And really, any
okay.
software that you would need, you can get it on a Mac also. And a lot of people
okay.
don't realize that that Microsoft, they say, was one of the reasons why Apple was able to continue, because when Microsoft released Word or Office for the Macintosh, it
mm-hmm.
kept a lot of people to buy Macs, because they realized that the operating system is just such much more intuitive. And then when you buy a Mac, you get the iLife suite with it. The iLife is a bundle of applications that allow you to do digital video editing. You can create DVDs. And it's got iTunes, which is a really incredible product, application, because you can buy movies, you can buy albums and records, singles at 99 cents
uh-huh.
a piece, and albums up to like $15. And one other thing about iTunes is that it has podcasts. And podcasts are pre-recorded either audio or video episodes, and there's probably over 10,000 different subjects in iTunes that you can get. And beyond that, there's another segment called iTunes U, where there's about 4 or 5 dozen universities and community colleges and even high schools that are providing free online lectures that span the gamut of any kind of, you know, topic area you can think of, engineering, math, science, history, health. And then, I mean, it's just amazing the things you could teach yourself through a podcast. And so, yeah. But, you know, that's just information that a lot of people don't really
right.
realize, that there's a lot, there's tons of resources out there on the Internet. So, yeah.
Well, Jazzy Blue was just writing in the chat room. Did you see what she wrote, Paul?
Hold on a second. Let me go, because I care. So, good point, Paul. You can run dual platforms. Yep, I am thinking about getting a Mac, and I have been PC lover always. You know, when I was working at this aerospace company, they were PC bound, but I was able to get a tablet PC, which I really enjoyed. A tablet PC is like a laptop. You can actually write on it, and so you can recognize your handwriting, and it's really, I thought, fascinating in the platform sense, because you don't have to worry about a laptop per se, because you're not typing all the time. And if you're used to writing notes, a tablet is really an interesting way to go. And it was really kind of interesting, more so because I was in a research environment. Everybody was walking around with spiral-bound notebooks. And we're talking, like, you know, they have 5 and 6 of these things. And I'm thinking, well, what if I wanted to go back 6 months to a note that I wrote? Am I going to have to go page by page to find it? But with a tablet, because of the handwriting recognition, I can actually search on what they call the ink, the actual handwritten note, before it gets converted into text, and do searches on it that way. It's really fascinating
right.
technology. And so,
well, technology these days is just absolutely amazing to me. My friend Dwayne out in Maryland, he has a pen where you write on some special tablet or something, and then it can show up on the screen or something. I'm like, I don't even understand how that's possible. But so anyway, Jazzy Blue was asking, what type of Mac do you have, Paul?
Yeah, right now I have a MacBook Pro, and I used to have an old 7500, and so that was a desktop. But now, because of the portability of it, I have a MacBook Pro, and so I bought it last year in 2009. And I went ahead and got the upgrade for the speed. So it's like a 3 gigahertz CPU. And then, of course, it maxed out the RAM, it maxed out the hard drives. And then because of the video work I'm doing, I bought an external 2 terabyte hard drive to go along with my Mac. So if you happen to see me in my laptop case, you'll see me with my hard drive, my PowerBook, and my power cords, because it's not, the hard drive still has to be plugged in, so to get power.
Yeah, but I have a MacBook Pro.
Right. So, Sandrine, I just have issues with Dell. I think I just have issues with computers, period. I think I try to do way too much on them, and they just can't handle what I'm trying to do. Like, my my mini Dell doesn't have the memory, I'm sure, in it, and so it just, like, freezes up and, you know, whatever. Even though I get have antivirus on it, you know, I think I get viruses or whatever. But I think my problem is I do way too much on it, and so my Dells are just not happy with me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's who knows. But anyway.
Anyway.
So I don't know how much time you have, Paul, before you have to head back. But
about 10
you
minutes.
Have said about 10 minutes. Okay. So do you honestly believe that an artist can make money from their passion, as you were saying?
Well, I mean, that's the tricky part, because I would say that if you're really, truly authentic and you give it all you've got and you show it to other people and other people can see that passion in you, then they'll buy into it. When I always think of the white stripes, I'm not trying to dog them. I ain't hating on them, but there's two, the husband and wife team, and there's a bass and drum, and they just wrote the most basic music, but they are like platinum record artists, right? And the stuff that they write isn't very musical in a sense, you know. I guess it's 3 chords. That's all they have, I think you can. And it's about getting exposure and just letting people know that this is what you love doing, and you get people to buy into that and to buy into you. So I know it's hard, it's challenging, but I think you can do it. Now, of course,
what do you think that an artist, whether it be a videographer or a songwriter or a performer or author or whatever it is, what do you think? I know you say exposure, and I would have to agree with you on that.
Right.
But I think that for some people, that's so very challenging, you know, exposure.
It is very
challenging. What does that really mean and look like?
Well, you know, it's really kind of weird, because on the one hand, I watch a lot of Democracy Now!, and I saw a show that had the guy who created the documentary called The Cove. And The Cove is about dolphin hunting in Japan. And he had like 20 years or so of experience, but he went and took a 3-day course on filmmaking, did this documentary, and walked away with a Grammy. Or not a Grammy, but an Academy Award. I'm thinking, okay. And then on the flip side, I'm listening to Del DeZico, the member of executive director of Taft here, and there was a workshop, a presentation that she gave, and she was being asked by somebody in the audience about why she pushes everyone to get a college degree. And she was saying that because of the racist and society that we have here, she can't just go up to like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs like they did in the past without their BS degrees and make a company that, you know, revolutionizes the world. And so she has to have the degrees to be able to show everybody that she knows what she's talking about. And so it's really kind of what you're saying. It's very difficult, and it's going to be challenging, but, again, it's the quality of life. And so if you really love your passion, if you really love what you're doing, you can get people to buy into it. And so, I'm actually, again, at the same situation, because I have some things I have in my plate that I'm going to do, and I'm going to, as soon as I finish getting my qualifications and my certifications, I will start asking people to be a part of the vision that I have for doing some documentaries. And so I know, Susan, I'm going to ask you to be a part of it. So, yeah. I just don't want to expose it just right now.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've talked about on the past shows, Paul, is, you know, educating yourself, you know, and
right.
doing the research. And
right.
that's one thing that I could feel like, you know, confident in saying about yourself is that you do the research and you do educate yourself around, you know, the technology and everything that you feel that you need to hone your craft and take it, you know, to the next level.
Thank you.
Now, what are your feelings in regards to, you know, doing the research, educating yourself and doing your due diligence to, you know?
Well, it's not just about the technology either. It's about the issues. I mean, we've got, like, I was able to, I just finished, well, I was trying to watch the last, what's his name? Let me take a second here, sir. Because I have so many things going through my head right now. So, Spike Lee's last movie that he just released on HBO about the Katrina situation, right? And so that's one thing
as far as getting the word out there. And God bless his heart, he's been able to go back 5 years later and do the follow-up documentary around the same time that the BP oil spill happened. So that's really kind of just timing. And I bring that up because I'm a member of the Breakfast Group, and I was actually at on another – well, that's one thing. And then with the Breakfast Group, we have a program called the All Achievers Banquet, and we're trying to show this other documentary called Fair Game to the Project Mister. It's a mentoring session that we have with some of the alternative schools here in Seattle. And Fair Game is a documentary that was produced by Mariel Van Peebles and edited by, Homer Blank. Benson is her last name. She's the first African-American female to be inducted into ACE, A-C-E, American Cinematic Editors Association. And so we're taking this documentary to inspire African-American boys to graduate high school and showing it during our Project Mister episode or meetings to just try and get them to realize that they have to get at least to graduate from high school. But then on a bigger scale, if you look at the percentage of high school graduates that are actually college ready, you know, that's another loop they have to go through. So, okay, they graduate high school, but only about 17% of the high school graduates are actually able to go right into college without having to go and take another year or two of remedial
right.
classes. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, this education is all turned around. And then, so it's just, I'm wondering so much, I forgot the question. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Well, I think, oh, I'm getting the message. So I just think that, you know, in watching you over the years, Paul, you know, and, you know, knowing that you've gone through the struggles, you know, of losing your job and being a creative soul and everything, you've just had your hands in so much here in the Seattle area and in ways that I don't see other, you know, creative people getting involved in. And so I find you very exciting, you know, because for me, I like things that are different. I like to see people that are branching out and, you know, and in doing something and not falling into the norm.
Right.
And so, you know, I appreciate the fact that you took the time today, you know, to call into the show. And I hope that, you know, in the future you're able to come in and share because I think that you've got a lot, you know, to offer, you know, the listening audience and a lot to offer.
Well, thank you.
The, you know, the artist community from around the globe because, you know, strangely enough, and it's a blessing to me, the listeners that come to the show are global, so it's not just,
right.
you know, where we are right here in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
But one thing that I'm finding in doing the shows, Paul, is that, you know, the struggles, the frustrations, and you know, even the blessings that come out of, you know, being a part of the global artist community is, you know, is they, there are so many commonalities that are shared.
That's
and,
true.
You know, and I think that if, you know, we can come together and we can talk about these things and share, you know, whether it's even like technology, that's something I hope one day that I can, you know, get myself up on. And, you know, with your help and TC's help and, you know, whatever, you know, maybe one day I'll get there. Because I do see now the more that I'm getting into what I'm trying to do, the more important, you know, to have the right type of technology, you know, available to me to be able
right.
to make it happen.
Right. Well, it's really
now,
interesting
ago,
now, too, because
I wouldn't have said that.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but technology now has gotten to the point where you can watch live streams of instructions. I mean, just on the south end of Seattle is a place where, I forgot what they're actually called, but they were giving classes on Google Docs, or Google applications. And so, I think it's called Live Tunnel. Wait a second, let me see, if I can get the email. But yeah, the technology is there. If you have the time and if you have the ability, and really, the real missing piece of the key is access. You got to have broadband access. And if you look at those rates and the data and the listings of countries around the world that have, you know, open access to the internet and high-speed broadband access, the United States is like less than, I mean, we're like maybe 14 or 15 in the list of all the countries around the world. It doesn't really make any sense. You know, here we are, pioneering country, first country to get a man on the moon, maybe second, but first to get a man on the moon, and we're trailing behind every single thing as far as healthcare, as far as income, as far as our infrastructure. We don't have a high-speed train system here in the United States. I mean, of course, you can always say, well, the scale of the country is too big. That's why you don't have high-speed. But again, when I say high-speed, I mean both rail and now with the internet. And now this whole net neutrality thing going on, and there's just so many issues. It's really kind of brain-numbing to try and think about all
right.
this stuff. But, yeah, let me see if I can find this place. But, yeah, I mean,
anyway.
I'm going to compliment you, lady, because it was the brother that met through you last year on Facebook that actually walked from like 400 miles. I mean,
oh, Javon, right.
Javon, yeah. Girl. So he's now actually behind a huge volunteer effort to help people down in San Francisco, right, or L.A., the homeless folks and everything. It's really a really amazing effort that he's doing, you know. And I want to commend you to letting him have a space and helping him get his word out. And so you need to be commended also. And
oh, I appreciate that, Paul. But even like with that, you know, and that's one thing that I really, you know, am hoping to, you know, address and find a way, you know, and find some form of resolve or a variety of resolves to that. You know, being able to shine the light on somebody like a Javon Rose girl. You know, he's got
right.
an amazing book that's out. He's trying to film his own documentary. He's got a great story. And there are times when, honestly, Javon and I have these long, lengthy conversations about how do we get people to pay attention. You know, like together, as April Simpson said, we are greater than I. You
right.
know, and that's reality. The more that we can get on the bandwagon, the more that we can believe in what we're trying to create, and then the faster we could move things forward, you know. And I don't know if you ever feel that way, Paul, where, you know, you're doing this all by yourself and you wish that you had a team behind you to help push things forward. Or, I mean, maybe you do have a team that's helping you push it forward. I'm not really sure, but because you've got
a lot
of connections in the city, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's my family is my team. So I'm married, and we just celebrated a 15-year anniversary, and we have a 7-year-old son. And so, you know, trying to make sure that the soccer games are met and all that kind of stuff during the week and the Saturdays and the weekend. And we have, we're members of a church here in Seattle called the City Church. And we go to the Belltown location, and so and they're actually a really progressive church, and they're now leading an effort called Jesus Is Dash. So if you go to jesus-is.org, you'll find a website where people are just talking about what they feel about Jesus and who he is in their lives. And so our church is not really one that to, you know, they're not, we're not really evangelicals. We're not really Bible thumpers in the sense that we don't, you know, necessarily damn people that are on the streets or people that are homosexual or people that are maybe on drugs, because we realize that in this time, Jesus did that. Jesus spoke to the people that were, you know, the have-nots. He spoke to the people that were on the edges, the prostitutes, the tax collectors and people like that. And Jesus didn't really condemn anybody. He healed everybody that asked him. And this, our church is really trying to get that message out there. And so that's just one of the other things I'm trying to do and things I'm involved in. And so, yeah, I mean, I thank you for the compliment and realizing that I do have a lot of connections here. And it is Seattle. Somebody told me that. And it's not just 6 degrees of separation in Seattle, especially in the African-American community. It's 0.6. That's how small it is. And me being a member of the breakfast group, I mean, there are people, I mean, the former chancellor, not former, but the former president of Seattle Central Community College, Charles Mitchell is a member of the breakfast group. And so people like that, the first mayor of Seattle is a mayor, is a member of the breakfast group. We have Norm Rice, and we have right now, he's the executive, Larry Gossett, executive director of King County, and the brother that sat in a sit-in at the University of Washington in the early 70s to try and get the Black Student Union together on that campus. He's a member. And so we've got athletes, we've got doctors and lawyers and business people that are members of the breakfast group. And so it just shows how small the community is. But we also have a lot of people, brothers who are not members, that are also very successful here in Seattle. And so trying to expand that network and get that out. And so thank you for the comment. That's also something I'm involved in.
So
I mentioned it before.
So you need to leave, right?
I got maybe 2 minutes. So one of the main things about the breakfast group is that we try and mentor and give scholarships to young boys of color, primarily African-American boys. And there are two programs that we do every year. One is called the Taiwan On Luncheon, which is a rites of passage where the boys actually learn how to tie a tie. They get teamed up with a mentor, and we have somebody come at a really nice restaurant downtown. A lot of times, because the first time that the students are actually in that kind of environment, and so, again, they get paired up with a mentor, and they get taught how to tie a tie, because a lot of the brothers don't have fathers in the home. And then the other function that we have is called the All Achievers Ceremony, where counselors at the high school will nominate a student that has some positive change in their career. It could be grades, it could be attendance, it could be athletes or athletic achievement, or just attitude. And they get nominated by the counselor, and then that nomination form gets turned in, and then the breakfast group has a panel that judges them, and they can get awarded scholarships. And some of the scholarships are multi-year scholarships, and that, of course, helps them out in their college. And so that's two of the programs that the breakfast group does. So just trying to get the word out.
I understand. And I think that the things that you're involved in are absolutely amazing. But I know
thanks.
You need to run, Paul, but I don't know if you have a website or anything or any information that you want to give out where people can find out more about you.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. iBrother is my handle. And then my long address is homepage, H-O-M-E, page.mac.com/pjackson. And on that link, I have little short videos that I've collected for the last 6 years or so. And so that gives some indication about the hobbies and things that I do. So thank you.
All right. No problem. I thank you for calling in, Paul. And again, I hope that you know, whenever you have a moment, and we do these shows on Mondays, you know, I'm going to be doing it at 12:30 every other Monday, and then 5:30 the opposite Monday. So whenever you're
okay.
available, I'd love, you know, to hear about you, what projects you're working on, and, you know, whatever it is that you have to share around, you know, being an artist or, you know, being a service provider to the artist.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Okay,
all
God
right.
bless
Take
you.
Care and have a great
Bye.
Afternoon.
Okay.
God
you
bless
too.
You too.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So anyway, that was Paul Jackson from right here in Seattle, Washington. Again, he is a gentleman that I met through my coffee shop. You know, first found out that he was an amazing photographer, and I did buy some of his photography work. And then, you know, he has performed on my stage, poetry, and nowadays he is really, really involved in the short film videographer type industry here in Seattle. As you can hear, he's kind of all over the place and different things that he's involved in. And the one thing that I could say about Paul is it feels like he has positioned himself amongst people that can help him take his craft to the next level, that's interested in what it is that he's doing. You know, he's been hired to record a variety of, you know, events here in Seattle, from political to, you know, artists. Events. Oh, you can find Paul on Facebook under Paul Jackson. So I should have written it down what else he had said, but you, Jazzy, I can send you his page, but it's Paul Jackson on Facebook, and he's on my friends list. So I don't know if there's any other callers that wants to, want to call in and, put it on the table, what's on your mind. I don't have a particular subject. What I've actually been doing is kind of going off of what the crowd has been like. Last week was recording artists from across the United States, with Sandrine added in there as a published poet. The week before that was, we did talk about recording artists. We had a record label that was present, and a manager out of Tampa, Florida that was present. So that was really interesting to find out what it takes for people to, you know, to take it to the next level, to the point where a record label would pick them up to, you know, an actual manager that can help make things happen. So that's, we've had some absolutely amazing conversations and a variety of people that have called into the show. So if you have something that you'd like to share, you can call in to 347-857-1189. One of the things that I'm, you know, as I explore this process, you know, of what I'm trying to do for myself and taking things to the next level with Flava News, you know, in finding ways to support indie artists, underground artists, self-published, you know, authors, whatever it is. I kind of go for the underdogs, the ones, you know, that people don't know about. I have this firm belief that I just, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to support, you know, mainstream artists. Yet I'm not saying that I don't like them, because I do. But I think that with mainstream artists, they already have themselves in a position where, you know, they have the support system in place. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, collaborate with a variety of people from across the globe in finding, you know, effective ways to help an artist take things to the next level. But I think the other important thing is to identify where the artist has that it factor. Now, who is to say that somebody does? That's a hard call, because, you know, a lot of it is a matter of taste. You know, not everybody, you know, thinks and feels the same way about this, you know, one piece of art. And so a lot of it is a matter of taste, but I think a lot of it has to do with the whole package. I think it has to do with the personality to the product, you know, the sellability of who you are, you know, because when I think about product, I'm always thinking about the artist as being the product. You know, you're also creating a product, whether it be a CD, whether it be a video, a book, you know, painting, whatever it is. So you also are creating a product, but you, the artists, are a product also. So I could sit here and ramble. There's plenty of people in the chat room, so I would love to hear from you. Even Jazzy Blue, I know you're a big fan, just like I am, in supporting artists. And if you have some thoughts that you want to share, what you think that an artist needs to do, you know, to take it to the next level, Charlotte, I would love to hear from you and what your feelings are about what you and Troy are doing in, you know, the now that he's moved out here to Seattle, you know, in the community around poetry and events and things like that, and to hear about how your event went out there in North Carolina for the National Poetry Awards. And TC, I know that you're always opinionated and have things to share because, you know, you've been scolding me through the show. So, you know, why not call in and share your thoughts along with Sundreen? You know, I'm going to practice this. Okay, I'll call you CC for now until I can get it all put together. I can't multitask, TC. So anyway, so I would love to hear from any of you. Otherwise, I can sit here and ramble on about, you know, my thoughts around things. And sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily the best thing to hear me ramble. But one of the things that I was watching a Vogue documentary over the weekend, and something that stood out for me is they stated, find a way to make yourself necessary. And I think that that's something that's really needs to be considered. What is it that you have to sell? How can you market it the best? Who is it that you're going to market it to? You know, I think that there needs to be a relevance around, you know, what product, you know, that you can create and how you're going to make it so that people feel that it's something that they need to have. I think with the economy the way that it is, I think this is a challenging time to be an artist. And so I think that, you know, you have to have an idea, you know, that whatever it is that you're creating is something that somebody else is really going to want and really, really going to enjoy. And, you know, I think about what it is that I'm trying to do through Flava News. And is it something that's marketable? Is it something that is going to be beneficial to other people? You know, because I spent a lot of hours, you know, doing this. I took a weekend off, and it's something that I think was good for me to kind of step away, especially since my computer is on, you know, is in the shop. Well, I think it just got returned to me. I'll have to go look because so much is going on around me in the background. But, you know, since I didn't have my laptop, I don't like sitting at my desk and working, you know, from my desktop, so I kind of stayed away from it. And it just made me think, you know, what it is that, you know, I really want to do and how effective am I in doing what I'm doing. And I'm kind of processing this with my mentor. I think it's something important to have a mentor in your life to process, you know, what you're doing, somebody that you can look up to and, you know, get honest feedback. You know, I think that honest feedback is important. I think that we all need to be tough enough to be able to handle that. So there are some callers on the line. It looks like a Skype call, so let me click on them. Caller from the 111, you're on the air with Lady Flava.
Oh, hi, Susan. This is Jazzy Blue. I'm calling. I'm not on Skype. It's just coming up probably because I'm calling. My home phone is non-public.
Oh, okay.
Was that why?
Okay.
Okay. How are you?
I'm very good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
Yeah,
I'm making it. Yeah. I wanted to call and just briefly talk about, this is something that you actually brought this up in a discussion in Facebook one day, and the thing about, you know, when people are putting their, whether it be poetry, their music, their art, when they're putting it out, you know, in terms of, you know, listening to constructive criticism. Do you remember that conversation that we had?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because there's a lot of artists and people out there, and I, you know, I am a big supporter, but, you know, if I don't like something, I just don't support it. You know, I mean, and sometimes, you know, people, they don't listen to, they're not hearing that. It's kind of like not what people want, or they're not, maybe not good at what they're doing, or what they're putting out is not a good product. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, I think it comes with, you know, you need to, and everybody has growing pains. I'm not saying that, but I think that it's important that when people are putting out what they're going to put out, that they try to do their best to put out a polished product, no matter what it is. You know, I think that's kind of important.
I agree with that. I think that the way that technology is nowadays, it makes it very, very easy for people to create something. You know, you can download Fruity Loops and Audacity or whatever these programs are for free on the internet, right? And create a track. Or, you know, you can self-publish a book. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to an editor and all of this and that. You can do it yourself and publish a book. And so I think that the way that technology is nowadays, it allows for you, you know, to create things. And so when you go to that point, I don't think that people are always, you know, willing to put themselves out there to somebody who is outside of their circle to get an honest opinion about what they're creating.
That's just it. You know, get an honest opinion. Because, you know, people, you know, you can't just, you know, people, I think, believe in people following their dreams and everything like that. But the thing about it is, if you continually have people who are being dishonest to you in what you're doing and giving you false hope, you know, just because they, you know, they don't want to tell you the truth, but that's hurting them. It's not helping them. It's hurting them. You know, because they're not going. If what they're doing is not something that is good, or what they're saying is a bunch of, you know, disrespectful mess, then people are just going to be offended by it in all kind of areas, and they're going out there with it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're not being honest with them, you do. You know, you need to go to someone who's going to be honest with you and accept what they say. You know.
And I do think that's important because, I mean, if you're going to put all this time and energy into something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're creating, I think that you do need to go outside your normal circle and find
mm-hmm.
out whether, you know, somebody thinks it's quality or not. I was, a friend of mine is trying to get me involved in an erotic project that he's got going on. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, erotica is one of the hardest forms of literature to impress me with. I think that different people have different opinions of what the
mm-hmm.
definition of erotica is,
mm-hmm.
and I
mm-hmm.
think that more borders on the line of what I would consider porn than erotica or
mm-hmm.
sensuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, mm-hmm. so he was putting this project out there, and then some people were responding to him, and so we spent quite a bit of time on the phone while he was reading to me some of the pieces that people were submitting. And I'm like, oh, my God, first of all, the person can't even write a proper sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, let alone even, you know, create a visual, a feeling, a sense of where they're really, really wanting to go with it. And what, you know, in my opinion, it wasn't erotica. It wasn't sensuality. It was just straight-up poorly written porn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
and there is a difference, you're right, Susan, there is a difference between porn, you know, sensual writing, I mean, sensual and erotic writing. There's a difference. There's a difference, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a difference.
Sheila, hold on a minute. I've got another caller that wants to be brought in. Caller from the 206-859. You're on the air with Jazzy Blue and Lady Flava.
Oh, that would be me.
Would that be you? Okay, this is TC. This is, for those of you that don't know, he's in the chat room as Thinking Caveman, and he is one of my mentors. You know, and he's very hard on me. He holds no, you know, what do you call it? He He's
I have no boundaries.
Yeah, he the one thing that I appreciate about TC is that he gives it to me straight. He doesn't sugarcoat things. You know, I know he doesn't necessarily like me to cry, you know, but sometimes I have cried. And not because it's necessarily that he's being mean. It's more so probably because I realize that he's right about something he has said to me. And so I know one of the things that he wants to talk about is branding. And so, you know, and I think that kind of goes along with, you know, what I was going to say, Sheila. Sheila
it's okay.
is Jazzy Blue. like,
oh,
do
I don't use my real name.
No,
go ahead.
Okay. but you know, that kind of goes along with what we're talking about, TC. You know, how do you know that how do you tell an artist that they're putting out, you know, quality product to even brand themselves around?
Well, one of the things that occurs with branding yourself is just like, for example, the Sheila Jazzy Blue, Susan Lady Flavor, the line fluctuates for you mentally. When you are in your character, you need to be that person all the time. It's to a point now where it's so bad for me, I do refer to myself as Thinking Caveman. And I was at a very public and social event this weekend, and a guy went, "What's your name?" And I instantly turned to him and went to say, "Thinking Caveman." And it dawned on me I wasn't in that kind of format. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm at a celebrity auction, and I can't do that. The guy would have looked at me and was like, "What? You know, where did we get a straitjacket?" But that becomes very important about building your brand. Sorry about that. For me, it's taken the better part of a decade to really define what I think Thinking Caveman is. It's always been there. It's just now it's a shorter straight line for me to get to exactly what I mean when someone asks me. As you know, I'm coming out with Morning Thief, the podcast novel, and it's taken me a very long time to get it right. And my name's actually on it, but I'm thinking about actually changing it to Thinking Caveman just because it makes way more sense. It's who everyone is seeing it come from. It's what everyone thinks it is. So your thoughts, talk to me.
So when you're out in public, TC, you don't necessarily, you know, want to identify yourself as from your government name to your online name or whatever. So, I mean, how would you even do that if you didn't go by your real name?
Well, I have to break the barrier somehow. It's just one of the things that I'm personally working with. And I think that the audience is going to be fairly open when I do associate my actual birth name or my slave name, as some people like to call it, with the Thinking Caveman, and they begin to become synonymous. Because I will say a lot of things in the Thinking Caveman persona that I wouldn't normally say to someone as myself. It's just not polite sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that I do pioneer into areas that are a little gray with people that make them feel a little uncomfortable. And like you said, I have made you cry. And it is woefully unintentional. Oh, so sad. Oh, not what I mean. I also know that it's sometimes a release mechanism. As myself, I would never make somebody cry. A girl? Come on, I got six sisters. Don't make girls cry. Girls smile.
Right.
Oh, no,
and I know.
No, go
on. I'm sorry, Sheila.
No, no. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to ask, may I call you TC?
Thinking Caveman, TC, anything but what my
okay,
mama
all right. Me. Okay. I know I was interested. When you said you're putting out a web novel. So are you saying that once you may change the name of the author's name to moniker on your moniker, Thinking Caveman. So are you saying that then if you do change it, then from then on, whenever you write something, are you going to be basically, you know, how there's many authors out there today that, I mean, bestsellers of on genres that have, like, you know, they're ghostwriters. They have different names. You know, they don't go by the real name. So is that what you want to do? Are you trying to get away from, okay, is that what you want to do? You don't want your real name on the things that you're writing?
Not true, just the opposite. I've spent so much time building Thinking Caveman as a persona that it's kind of hard to give him up.
Oh, okay. I mean, but why do you have to give him up, though?
It's kind of like the unknown comic. You know, he did real great when he hit the paper bag on his head. When he became himself. We all laugh at Pee Wee Herman, but do we laugh at Paul Reubens?
I understand. I understand totally what you're saying. Yes, I understand. Yes.
So
you put that very well, too. You put that very well. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I gotta make a decision here. And I really believe that I want to become me. I've always been me. There's really no dividing line for me when I think about myself. But for the general public who know me as Thinking Caveman, it might be a little bit of work for them, but I'm also open to it. And then also for other artists, in building your name is everything, and you should act accordingly. You know, you're talking about young guys who put out products, and they're asking, you know, they're not asking for feedback or advice. They're just blasting the market with whatever they think will sell for the moment. That you got to remember, 10 years from now, you got to be that guy. You know, 15 years from now, you got to be that guy who put that out. Do you want, is that what you want? Is that what you're really asking yourself to do? I mean, just look at Justin Timberlake as a great example for what I'm saying. That man, for the rest of his life, has to admit that he wrote a song called Dick in a Box. And it's funny today, and it's kind of sophomorically humorous, but he has to stand by that for the rest of his life. I mean, how many times have you seen Cyndi Lauper sing Girls Just Want to Have Fun? Well, Cyndi Lauper's almost old enough to be a grandmother now. she's like 56, 57. But when you do those things, you have to remember, you have to stand by what you do and always be who you say you are. So far, the person that has done it the best has been Madonna. That's who I used to be. This is who I am. I'm still me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough job.
That's something to think about. Before we go any further, we have another caller with their hand up, so let me bring them in. Caller from the 253, you're on the air with Jazzy Blue and TC and Lady Flava.
Well, hello, guys. This is Josh Parkerson from Lynx Records.
Hey Josh,
how are you?
I'm good. I've been listening for the last 15, 20 minutes. Sorry I couldn't get there earlier. Had a couple meetings and stuff. But I've been here for the last, like I said, 15, 20 minutes listening to your discussion about branding and everything like that. I just had to chime in, if you don't mind.
Okay, of course. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
TC, I think that the Thinking Caveman moniker is excellent. Because it might be maybe a different side of your personality, as you know, everybody has the angel and devil, but it's still a part of your personality. As long as you're true to yourself and you're not trying to be fake or trying to be somebody else, if you go by the Thinking Caveman, I think it's great. I think the name is good. It's obviously, you know, more of an intelligent name than, you know, Snooki or a whatever kind of ghetto-fied name, I guess you could say. I hope I'm not offensive, but, you know, just to put that out there, I think the Thinking Caveman is good. You know, I mean, especially if you want to put yourself out there and say some things that you don't necessarily want to come back to your, you know, my name is Josh Parkerson. You know, online, you know, I go by Josh Man Rock. A lot of my friends call me Josh Man Rock and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, but I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I actually agree with that because, trust me, I've been working him for a long time. And, yeah, he's done some unique and outrageous things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I am truly always me. And, yeah, you're right. There are some things I don't want to attach to my name. There are just some generic comments that you don't want to have to look at them and go, wow, a potential employer or someone a little bit more conservative than I normally deal with on a daily basis might actually hear or see this.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right. So I think those things, you know, especially if you're, you know, in the creative arts of whatever kind of art, you know, you decide you want to be in, you know, if you, you know, it takes a lot of passion and energy, and it takes a lot of yourself, your personal, who you really are in the core to put out your art. You know, whether you're writing literature or writing a rap song or painting a picture, you know, you have to put a lot of yourself out there, and sometimes it's real scary. You know, I work on the business side, but I have been an artist before as far as a singer. And so I know what it's like to be on stage. You know, I opened up for Sir Mix-a-Lot myself, you know, so I know what it's like. I know that it's scary sometimes. I know that it's, you know, you get all hyped and everything like that. And sometimes, you know, to be Josh Man Rock or to be the Thinking Caveman or Lady Flava, you know, that kind of gives you a little bit of anonymity, you know, just to kind of break out of your shell a little bit more than you normally would as a Josh Parkerson.
And yeah, I've been slinging around, you know, several names and making them the great example in this conversation. But also with branding, something else that artists or all ilk don't really realize. Until you have a fair amount of people saying your name, no one knows who you are. And it takes a long time to build a name. A long time.
Sure.
I've seen guys, you know, like you say, you worked inside the industry, so you understand. I worked inside the industry as well. And I know that there are names that are floating around in my head that I haven't heard in a decade, but if they pop up, I might go see them, might not. Just today alone, you know, I heard an old Paul Rogers reference that no one else caught in the room but me, and that was at 9 o'clock this morning. So it's just one of those things where I'm a little bit more informed than the average person sitting in the room.
Sure.
About artists and names. Yes, go ahead, Susan.
So, this is something I actually would like to ask Josh, and it is around branding, because, and TC, Josh is with Lynx Records, which is out of the Tacoma area.
Yeah,
and they have are you familiar with them? So anyway, I wanted to ask you, Josh, because, you know, the big group or artist that you're working with is Tap Tap. And then I guess, you know, from Tap Tap there's TBR, correct?
Yes, TBR was a compilation of the three individual artists. We did TBR because we wrote this hot song, and it's still charting, you know, in New York and in LA and so on and so forth. And you know, all three guys got on it, and we thought it would be an awesome way to get all of our artists and one show that they can each do their own songs and come together and do a song. Yes, it's a group, but they're individual artists, and they all are working on their own individual projects.
Okay, so then Vox and Real are also artists that are signed to Lynx Records?
Correct. Vox is. Real has more of like a development deal where he's, you know, he's still got studio time. He's, you know, he can work with us. He does, but you know, you have to prove a lot to us in order to get, you know, pen to paper.
Okay.
And so he's got immense talent. You've heard him sing. He sang to you.
He's
got
amazing.
Immense talent, and he's really good. He can write songs, and he can sing. He can do backup. He can do whatever. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, person that we want, somebody that doesn't have an ego and so on and so forth. So, yeah, he's uber talented for sure.
So then my question is that, you know, with Tap Tap and TBR making, you know, they're out there charting across the United States, right? How is it that you create that? Because I'll be honest with you, everybody that I've mentioned the names to here in the Pacific Northwest, they have not heard of the artist. And so I guess my thinking is like the artist should be known in their hometown, you know, really, really well to then, you know, branching out. And I could be totally wrong. Then to branching out, you know, across the United States and across the globe. So, how did they get on these charts?
Well, first of all, you have to kind of lay the groundwork first. You know, you have to make sure that you're, you know, sound scanned and signed up with DBS, and you got your own copyrights, and that, you know, I mean, all of those things that you're actually printing vinyl and stuff like that. So you have to be at that level first. Now, I agree with you totally about the, you want to be known in your own backyard. I couldn't disagree at all. What we found is, in the Northwest, there's not a whole lot of unity. There's not a whole lot of people going out to clubs a lot. You know, for example, we go down to L.A. or Miami. You know, obviously, you not anybody can get into some of these clubs. So you have to be at a certain level as far as quality and content, and, you know, you have to be popular enough to be played in the clubs. So luckily, you know, we have the studio, we have the know-how, we have, you know, we're not afraid to invest in ourselves and so on, you know, to be able to get there.
Okay.
The problem is if we go to L.A., we got, you know, a packed house, you know. Everybody loves us. We're selling CDs, you know, we're signing autographs, everything. We're VIP. When we come to Seattle, the clubs are not that cracking.
Okay.
And I hate to say that because I love Seattle. I love Tacoma. I live in Tacoma, and I love Olympia, you know. But unless you're going to a club that has a huge draw, you know, you don't really get the return on investment that you're really looking for.
Hey, Josh.
Because,
yes,
sir. Yeah.
Let me partially field a portion of that question for both everyone, both Susan and everyone else. When you talk about walking into a club in L.A., you're talking about walking into a packed room of 400 to 500 people. If you walk into a club in Seattle, we'll just use the triple door. Not even the triple door. Yeah, the triple door is the example here. If you walk in there, you're walking into a Friday night of 200, 250 people with varying taste.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Whereas in Miami, you're talking three clubs in a block strip, and you're talking 1,000, 1,200 people.
Right. And they're waiting to get in line, and, you know, I mean, everybody's dressed to the nines, and they want to get in. You know, and everybody's waiting outside, where in Seattle, like you was talking about, that's a great point. You know, they have varying tastes. A lot of people are into rock and you know, sometimes folk music that are actually in a hip-hop club. So that's not really, you know, the people that we want to market ourselves to. And not only that, but Seattle is not a huge hip-hop market. So if you're going to – so we're putting dollars into this, and we're – and more than just a couple. So – you know, you have to look at it is from a business perspective, what's going to get you the most return on investment? What are you looking for? What is your goal? Is your goal to sell, you know, 25 CDs tonight at the triple door? Or are you looking to really get some exposure and see, like, for example, we're going to L.A. We're going to call all the contacts we know in L.A., tell them the date we're going to be there. Tell them what's happening. We're going to be on stage. Send them the press kit in advance so when they see us live the first time, it's not the first time they heard our name. You know, they already know us. They know we're making moves. They know we're going to L.A. and Vegas and Miami and Atlanta and all of these things. So you have to ask yourself, what's going to get the best return for your money? Because we're not millionaires. We got money to spend, but we're not millionaires.
And also
so
locally, Josh, I was going to say, and locally, God bless your soul if you push in hip-hop and you don't have Eric Powers' phone number.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So I understand that aspect of the industry as well. And you're absolutely right about spending dollars. Every dollar needs to be accounted for, and it needs to show what the return of that dollar was.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be Absolutely. Pennies on the dollar.
That's right.
Well, go ahead, Josh.
No, please. I've said a lot about this. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
No, I just, it's I'm not, when we talk about branding and everything, and I've heard it from other people that they've gotten more appreciation in other states, over in Europe, when they've gone mm-hmm. to Europe or Japan, versus what they receive in their own hometown. So I totally feel you on that, that aspect, Josh. I guess I just found it interesting that, that TapTap or TVR is making charts and making all these moves when people don't know them in the hometown.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. So, but one thing I will say, TC, because you weren't on the show when Josh was on here before a couple of weeks back, Lynx Records has got a very good, just the whole package. When they came to my birthday celebration, they brought the whole crew from Soundman, who was CEO of Lynx Records, to, an entourage, mm-hmm. to their own videographer, to their, publicist, manager, whatever it is mm-hmm. that Johnny does.
Mm-hmm.
Josh was there, and I didn't even realize Josh was, a part of Lynx Records, which I kind of appreciated, that he kind of stood off on his own, not amongst the people that he was actually there with. And so I kind of, as I look back on that, I like that. But Lynx Records, has the whole package. They came with their own wireless mics, the whole setup. And so I know that when they go, wherever they go, it's quality. They've got the whole, everything's together. Like Josh says, putting out the press kit ahead of time, press releases, all of that. I just was like, mm-hmm. okay, I said, okay, if Josh ever comes on the show or Johnny or whatever, I'm going to ask him, how is this happening that these guys are making charts and people don't know them in their own hometown?
Yeah, can I say real quick that it breaks my heart that we're not as big here as we are in L.A. or Atlanta or, Miami. It does, because I grew up in hip-hop, and I grew up here in Tacoma, And so there would be nothing that would make me happier than to have TapTap or Vox, just break through. We have been and are so close to we've got digital distribution, but we're talking about, we're so close to a full-blown record deal where we're talking about serious money from serious players backing us. And we're so close. So, there would be nothing better than to bring home the trophy to Seattle.
That's exactly what it would be.
Yeah, because there's nobody, there's a lot of really good underground artists here. There really is. But there's not any huge major artist here that's being played on the radio. And like you said, Eric Powers and Cube and Kiss and all of these radio stations, that we're not, nobody here is in heavy rotation. And so there would be nothing, that would make me happier than to bring back the trophy like New Orleans did, like the Saints did. They're down and out for so long, and then they come home champions. That's what we feel that it's going to take to grow this area, is we need somebody, us, to step up their game and be national. We already have the mindset that if we're going to do something, it's going to be 100%. We will not skimp on anything. It's like Lady Flava said, when we came into to her birthday party, and it was a great birthday party, by the way. I really enjoyed it. We went hard. We went with everybody. We had groupies. We had a sound man. We had the videographer. We had the marketing guy. I'm over here politicking with everybody to make sure that they know who we are, and that we do things at a certain level. We bring the wireless mics. The details are important. And if we don't do things at 100%, You know, who's going to take us seriously?
It's like something else I also realize in the process, too, in listening to you. You have artists in development. That was a great non-gradable event to be at. And I don't mean to say that Lady Flavor's party wasn't gradable. I'm talking about from an industry standpoint. It was a private party, but at a major industry level. It gives you an opportunity to see how an artist in development will act in the public, how he will be perceived by people who will be buying, not only the act, but the consumers who will be buying the act. It's a huge opportunity, and it's a great training ground to take a look and see, okay, you need to be a little bit more personable here. You need to be a little less grabby here. You need to be a little bit more stage presence here. I'm aware of all of this. Yeah, I'm not the first time at the rodeo in this game plan.
No, Lady Flavor speaks highly of you.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are really ready. Thank you, Susan. It sounds like you guys are really ready. If you got somebody who's charting, are you breaking the chart at 500 yet?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're number 13 in New York.
So you're 13 New York local radio?
Yeah, no, 13 in New York in the clubs, and we're we are charted on the radio too, but I don't have that information in front of me.
I don't want to say that we're something
where it might be a different number.
Okay, so you're charting in the clubs, so you got street buzz right now in New York City.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Street buzz in New York City is street buzz in New York City. Is worth. Yeah, you're right. You're on somebody's desk right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're on the radar. We believe seriously on the radar with three major labels right now.
And we've had
back and forth conversations, face to face conversation with three major labels right now. And so, you know, what we're doing is everything that we absolutely can. What we're doing is leading by example. And
yeah,
hopefully
you need
that...
one more marketing push before Thanksgiving.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry. I was thinking out loud. I was thinking to myself that you need a big marketing push going into the third quarter to push yourself up on the New York charts so that you are the song that's being played for Thanksgiving vacation so that you ride down the coast.
Yeah.
So you become the digital downloader to ride down the coast with as they go back to college.
So, TC and Josh, if you could just kind of help me understand this clearer, if we could go back to the branding, like, and clearly, you know, Tap Tap and TVR, you know, has, the whole package is there, you know, and the whole team is there and everything. So when it came to, like, so do you feel that they're branded? Like, so your feeling is that they're known, like, in the New York area, or they're known in the California area?
Well, we're definitely known in the California area, and we're becoming more known in Miami. We're in the process of planning more trips and making more moves. Like you said, TC said, a big marketing push. We're planning for that. We're saving up our money, make sure we got everything on lock and everything like that. But I will never be satisfied. And that's kind of the way I look at it. Now, Matt, if we sold 100 million records, I want to sell 101 million records.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
Kind of the attitude that we come in, because if an artist gets complacent, then he starts sliding backwards. And that's kind of the way I look at it, sliding backwards as far as, you know, the amount of focus it takes to put on a good show, the amount of focus it takes to write a hit record. You know how hard that is? I mean, it's unbelievably hard. And so if you're just happy being complacent and happy being in the club that 56th Street, you know, over or 54th Street, you know, and Tacoma here, that's fine. I mean, I have no issues with it. But, you know,
right.
That's not the kind of attitude and that's not the kind of drive that we need to be like a Ludacris. You know, how many didn't he sell 10, 20,000 CDs out of the trunk of his car before he got signed? You know, that's the kind of determination and dedication that we need. And we already have. We've got Vox, which is more – now, I don't know if you know a whole lot about Vox. He's more of an underground artist. He does rap,
yeah,
but he's got a lot of
more,
yeah, but a lot of rock mixture in there. I mean, he's really unique. And then Tap's more of a top 40 artist. So, and then we have Real, who we also work with, that's – you know, he's got an amazing voice, more of an R&B guy. And right now, we're actually looking at rock bands and country artists right now.
Come on, that's a wonderful
so,
deal.
So, I guess I'm still coming back to this branding thing. So maybe
I'm giving,
you could help me with this.
That for you. Yeah, I'm getting ready to answer that for you. Now, you know all of the work that Josh has done with his bands outside of the area to create
yeah.
a noticeable name for them on the desk of movers and shakers. To the average consumer here in Seattle, that doesn't sound like they're doing anything because they don't, you, or they, the local person doesn't know who they are. Remove that from your thinking. I am going to throw around names. I don't care. Hema was my neighbor. Every time I approach him on a business level, through text or writing to him, he ignored me. But as his neighbor, he was more than happy to tell me about how many CDs he sold out of his trunk, about what his greatest latest was. But every time I approached him individually, privately, in business with him, he couldn't see me for the light of day because I wasn't in front of him. So that told me about him. His image is strictly as far as his car will go on a tank of gas.
Yep.
Josh is telling you, my image is not as far as I can go on a tank of gas. My image is as far as I can go that you don't think I can go. I'm going
mm-hmm.
further. Very simply,
right.
I'm going further than you think I can. And what he's building, and you've got to look at it on a cultural standpoint, Seattle is a television market, and we'll just do a television alone. It's a 12th television market in the United States of America. New York is number one. L.A. is number two. Chicago is number three. If you want to be known in Iowa as station number 53, you got to be known as station number one and two.
Yes.
There's no in-between. It's the only way you can get everyone in the country to see you. Is you gotta do New York, you gotta do LA, and you gotta run hard, you gotta run fast, and you gotta have a war chest to survive long enough for people to say one of two things about you. That guy has a lot of potential. I want to see more of him. That guy is great. Sign him now. Those are only
yep.
conversations you want ever to be had about you. You never want to have this
right.
conversation. That guy needs to go back and start over.
Mm-hmm.
That guy needs to do something different. When you're hearing that conversation
okay.
about yourself in those arenas, run away. Run away and start over.
Absolutely.
Change your name.
At that point, you need to change your name. But, there's different ways of thinking about how to build an empire, you know, and
oh, yeah.
specifically this kind of empire that we're trying to build in Lynx Records with a record deal and major artists and tours and everything like that. Now, there and you know Lady Slava, there's a lot of good, like J.C. Flo, for example. He's a great
mm-hmm.
artist. I love his. I got his CD and I love it. I mean, I really do. He's great. Now, what he's now, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, he's in a lot of clubs here in Seattle and maybe Tacoma and Olympia around the Northwest, and he's out performing and doing his thing, and a lot of good artists have done that before and have been trying that same way for 20 years. Now, we know that it's not working. So, you know, so is it prudent to keep doing that? knowing that it's not working, knowing that the fan base here in Seattle doesn't care as much as New York or L.A., you know. And the, another point is how many actually movers and shakers are here? How many decision makers are in Seattle? How many A&R reps live here? You know, is there any chance that we're actually going to meet an A&R rep at the Triple Door? Probably not. Lots of fans,
right,
maybe move some CDs, you know. But, you know, the decision makers aren't here. You know, so what we're building is we're building a national audience to say, hey, look, we're charted here, we're charted here, we're charted here, we got buzz, we're selling CDs, we're selling iTunes, we're selling on Rhapsody and Napster, we're selling, we got checks coming in. And that's already more than most people have, right? And so we realize that if we do this, you know, we have a better shot at making it big and bringing the trophy home and being the only major record label here, so now we are the man, you know, rather than trying to build it up in a grassroots form, you know, going out to clubs every night. Now, we do go out to clubs, and we are seen in Seattle and Olympia, but we're not making a major push. We're going out and supporting local guys and making sure, you know, we run sound for them and our friends are, you know, the people that aren't even signed to us, you know, are doing things right. You know, and we are acting as mentors and, you know, and guiding some of these young artists that need some direction. We do that, but we don't spend the huge dollars in Seattle because it's not worth it. And it hurts me to say that. It really does. But, you know, from a business standpoint, I'm not going to spend money and waste it. Just not going to happen.
And I do hear what you're saying, Josh, and I appreciate you, you know, explaining to it to me in a little bit more detail and all, and with TC here to help, you know, help me understand it. You know, and I understand that you're right. I mean, who's the movers and shakers right here in Seattle? You know, I couldn't honestly tell you. I'm sure that there are some, you know, here, but
ladies,
they're not,
ladies, you're,
you know, easily.
You're the biggest mover and shaker around here, actually. You're kind of the glue that holds a lot of us together. It's true.
It is very
true. Absolutely
true.
And so I'm very thankful to be, you know, a friend of yours and hopefully a some sort of business partner or, you know, going forward we can maybe do some things. You know, I'm very happy and I'm grateful that you do these things because without somebody like you, there wouldn't be, you know, any national attention on Seattle or the Northwest.
Well, and I, you know, and I appreciate you saying that, Josh, because, it's, I mean, that's, you know, sometimes I sit here like I did this past week and I'm like, why do I do this? You know, why do I put all my time and energy into this? And then the reality is, as I turn around, it's my passion. It's something I strongly believe
mm-hmm.
in. And you know, now that I'm getting more in touch and involved with artists right here in our own, you know, part of the United States, there, like you said, Josh, there's some absolutely amazing talents here. You know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, through the connections that, you know, I have, you know, some of them are being played in other states and other countries, you know, which is a blessing to be able to, you know, take their sound and have others have an interest, you know. And then my big push is that people realize that they're from the Pacific Northwest. And so, you know, and you're right. I mean, it's, you know, when it comes to, like, creating unity within our community. I don't know whether it's like this in other parts of the United States or around the globe, but to create that unity within the artist community where people come together instead of going against each other, uniting to make something work, I do see that is a challenge. I think I kind of tried to fight that in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but the more that I'm out there, I do see the divide, and that just so bothers me because I feel like if we could become a united front, it would just help push us out there. Because it seems for me, it's all about, like, man, the Pacific Northwest. You know, I want everybody
mm-hmm.
to know,
yeah.
you know, that these artists are from here and that they started here. I am understanding now that you explained it more, why the push is outside, and then to come back home. I just, you
mm-hmm.
know, I think it's sad. you know, because, you know, I'm proud of the fact to say you guys are from here.
Yeah.
You know, and I would love for the people right here to say, you know, tap, tap, Vox, you know, real or from right here. You know,
yeah.
Let's get them played in the clubs here. Let's get them played on the radio stations here. Let's, you know, this and that, have them performed in showcases here to help send them out, you know, into the world where other people can hear about our talents from in our own hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're teaching me that it's kind of the other way around, you know, and
yeah,
I've kind of heard that from other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess at the same time I resist it.
Sure, and I did too, absolutely. You know, and I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for over 10 years, which is, you know, long for some and quite a little bit of time for others. But, you know, it's 30% of my life. You know, I've been doing music and, you know, out in clubs and promoting and, you know, giving advice and everything like that. And, you know, I mean, what do they say about, you know, insanity is what is it, you know, doing the same thing over and over expecting different results? You know, I mean,
right.
At some point you have to look at, you know, your methodology of how you're going about
sure.
your business,
sure.
you know, and evaluate that in a very real dollars and cents, you know, black and white way. You know, and if you
no.
don't do that, if you don't evaluate your business like that, you're, you know, you're selling yourself short.
And then it's
now
just,
I will say about J.C. Flow. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just said if you don't evaluate where the money's going, then it's just an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
The one thing
right.
I will
and,
say about, since you brought J.C. Flow up, and,
mm-hmm.
and then you can finish T.C., is the one thing that I appreciate about Jacob, he maybe in your mind appears that he's in the club. He did do 3 club scenes because he was pushing his new album
mm-hmm.
out. And so, you know, he did 3 album release parties in 3 different locations. You know, his album, his new album is called Verb Noun By. And so each location was, the first one was Verb, the second one was Noun, the third one was By. He did
mm-hmm.
put a lot of money into those particular showcases of his own. The one thing I will say about JC is he is about quality. He first came into this business. He's got 2 business. He's got 2 degrees. So he's college educated. So he kind of came into this as a business with a business mind versus an artist mind first. And then he, you know, he just so loved hip-hop, so then the artistry, you know, came out. But he researched, you know, like some of the artists that he really wanted on his project to the studios that he wanted to record in. So his stuff is not half-assed. You know, his stuff was done quality, you know.
Yeah,
and
you can
so,
tell. You can tell it's
but he does
like
need
that.
To get, he does need somebody that can help push him, you know, out there beyond the Seattle area because I know that he wants that and I'm starting to get him some exposure. But, you know, I don't think that's his intention. I don't think it's his intention to be out there in the clubs and just performing right here because he's with you on that. You know, he's with you that not being able to get the love, you know, from the local people and stuff. And, you know, he's got this great product, the whole package. You know, the whole JC package is nothing but
mm-hmm.
professional. But
yeah.
to get people to buy it, you know, he's struggling, you know, getting the local people and the people that know his name. And know it's
well,
down to support him in that way.
Lady Flavor?
Yes.
At that point is where the business enters into the words record business. Because now you're looking at a different aspect of the industry. If you
mm-hmm.
have a regional following and you want to take the next step, one of the things I tell everyone who just they don't quite have that formula for the next step, I tell them very simply, 1 year, go to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Don't buy a booth space. Don't buy anything extra. Just buy an all-access pass and absorb everything you can. And if you don't know or you don't have someone to tell you or you don't get it at that point, come back and see me again, and we'll talk about the real legal aspects. Like Josh says, getting charted, making sure your fees are in order, making sure your productions and not your production, but making sure your copyright's in order. If those mm-hmm. things aren't in order, it doesn't matter what you made. Somebody else owns it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just a matter of time before they make a phone call to go give me what's mine. And you have no choice, and then you're going to spend the next 3 years in court talking about it, if that's short. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, one of the reasons I send people to South by Southwest for the business aspect, the learning curve is huge in those 10 days.
It absolutely is.
I first went in, I think, 92. So I did 92, 93, 94, and I got what I needed and got out of the way. And I learned the industry from, you know, that 30-day period of hanging out with industry professionals, figuring out what I wanted to do and understanding how I wanted to be in the business. And not in a big way, just how I wanted to be. Now I'm at a point where I'm going a different direction. And my different direction as a publisher actually benefits me. I'm very happy. You know, I just got to start mining for my money. And that's where the point I'm at with Thinking Caveman. I'm at the point where I'm beginning to mine for my money as a publisher.
Nice.
So, yeah, you're absolutely correct in everything you said about building the whole quality package. It takes time, and you got to be moving quick, and you got to be where you need to be all the
mm-hmm.
time.
So, TC, if you could just give us a rundown. There's quite a few people in the chat room and, you know, a variety of artists. April Sands, who's my East Coast sister out in Washington, D.C., she does a lot of things that are similar to what I'm doing, but she does it on a much larger scale, and she's, you know, doors have opened up for her. So one of her favorite, you know, topics to talk about is branding. And, you know, putting out the best package that you can and knowing that your quality work. When you hear me talk about We Are Greater Than I, that's April Sims' brand and moniker. And so, you know, and the whole concept is, you know, together we can do much more than we could do alone. So, you know, then we've got, you know, Jazzy Blue. She's an amazing support system to a variety of artists across the globe. Jazzy, you're out of, I want to say, Iowa area. she's out of Iowa. But Paradigm, she's an amazing spoken word artist who, you know, still hasn't sent me any tracks to play on my show. Yes, I put you on the spot. But she does a lot of things, too. I believe she's out of the Detroit area. Paradigm, I'm not sure if I got that correct. Yes, I'm old and, you know, forgetful. Then we've got Poetry Is Me, which is Charlotte Langston, who's right here in our hometown in the Auburn area. And so, okay, yes, I was right. She's in Iowa. So, you know, we've got a variety of people that are in the listening audience right now. We've got a bunch of people that are also listening live. But could you just, TC, give just a rundown. What does it mean to brand yourself?
It allows you to develop a concept and an idea that equals you. It equals your art. It equals your personality, persona, and it allows you to be a much larger figure than life. If you properly brand yourself, people will know who you are before you know who they are. You walk into a room and you are known just by going, oh, that's Thinking Caveman. Oh, that's Lady Flavor. Hey, that's Josh. He knows Vox. He works with Vox. I think, I'm not sure, but he's always with Vox. And then it becomes, he helped Vox become Vox. And it just keeps getting larger. It takes a long time to build. But once you build your brand, don't let anyone poison it. Oh, God, don't. That's just a brief statement for you. One time I'm probably going to come on one of these shows, I'm actually going to lay out exactly what it is that I do for myself so that everyone can put it all together in one nice little pie.
I think that would be wonderful if you did that because, you know, I know that I identify you as one of my mentors, which I do.
you know, you're somebody that I very much value as not only my friend, but as somebody that I look up to, and I know that you've done the homework. I know, you know, you've done your due diligence, and I know that you're not talking out the side of your neck when you, you know, when we talk about things. And I know that you're not going to sugarcoat it. So, you know, I know that's kind of vague when I introduce you and who you are and what you do and what all your capabilities and connections are. So that would be wonderful if you would do that. But I know that branding is something that's really important. And I don't think that people understand, you know, when it comes to artists or when it comes to, you know, as a business provider, a service provider, you know, how important that is. I think I learned that the hard way when I had my coffee shop, as you very well know, CC. You know, I mean, I have this amazing space, you know, for 5 years, and, you know, a Starbucks went up on the south end of me and a Starbucks went up on the north end of me. So from Flava Coffee House to try to draw the business in, man, I was lost. I was so lost. I had run through all my financial resources, you know, and stuff. And, you know, there's a part of me that says, man, you know, Susan, you really needed to understand, you know, what it would take for you to brand yourself, because the whole concept was, like, perfect. You know, but I guess, you know, through the Flava Coffee House, you know, I became Lady Flava. I got involved with the arts community here in Seattle, so across the globe. So my branding started there.
Exactly. And that was, what, 5 years ago now?
Yeah, I built Flava in 2003.
Oh, so we're at the seven, eight-year mark. Listen
yeah.
to this in all honesty. A compliment is given to you that you are a premier, nationally known person, and you push Northwest artists. You are larger than you think you are, and that's no small feat. That's a lot of work, but it's all from the heart, and it's all from the inside. When you start moving that outside of yourself, and you've spent the better part of a decade of building Lady Flava, she's nothing to joke with. You know, you are a force. Act as such.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just want to make me cry, huh? But in a good way.
No, he's telling the truth. He's absolutely telling the truth. And like we were talking about earlier in branding, right? And, you know, the reason why Lynx Records goes to the clubs the way we do is because we have to act as if. Like one of my mentors when I was really young told me, act like you're a millionaire. One day you'll be one.
Hell yeah.
You know, and so, TC, you're right on point in being all about Lady Flava because, you know, I see her on her grind all the time. She's always working, and I see her with the Unleash the Brilliance, and I see her promoting, you know, artists, and I see her promoting this and that, and Flossom or Tossom, and all the, you know, I mean, you're seen out there. And even though sometimes you don't know you're being seen, you know, people are watching. People are listening.
And I do understand what you're saying, Josh, and I do realize that that you know people are watching because you know people have I mean just like Unleash the Brilliance, you know, fell into my lap, you know, through somebody watching me and saying
mm-hmm.
that you know they you know when they did their research on me, no matter where they went online, you know, I was consistent. And that made me feel good to realize that, you know, what I project online is the same no matter where it is that I go. Now, April Sims, she's had the privilege of staying in my house. Now, she might say tell you something different when it comes to, you know, knowing me in person. But TC knows me in person, you know, so they might tell you a little bit different. You know, when it comes to that, but, you know, I try really hard to just be consistent all the way around. I think that I do realize a part of me that I'm larger than what I honestly know. And I'll be honest with you, Josh and TC, that kind of scares me because I do have this image, you know, I have this Japanese pride thing, and, you know, our name is everything. That's how I was raised.
Sure.
You know, when you're out there in public, you're representing not only yourself, you're representing your family.
That's right.
So when I'm out there in the public eye and I'm representing as Slava News or Lady Slava, you know, I'm representing my brand. I'm representing artists, you know. And so I want to always represent in the right light, you know. And I've got haters out there. I've got people who have criticized me. You know, I've had people write me letters from things they've read in my newsletter, and they're like, why do you say that, you know, you cried after this or that? I'm like, you know what, I'm human. I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, out here and I've just got this, you know, hard exterior and interior that things don't affect me. I want you to know this hurt me that people didn't come to my showcase. I lost money. You know, when I did my hip-hop showcase. So I'm going to tell you that. But people are like, oh, you shouldn't tell people that, you know, or whatever. And, maybe it's not a good look that I'm so open and I'm so sharing about how things affect me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it for a reason. And so I think it's almost part of my brand because I am human, you know. And
sure.
I want you to know. And I want people to be aware. This is how your art makes me feel. Okay, you know, I'm a 50-year-old silver-haired woman, and you're sending me some mess talking about, you know, bitches and hoes and looking at her garden and her legs. Come on now. That don't work this way. You know, like, you know, that disturbs me that you would even go there. You know, so I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily wrong, and maybe at some point I'll pull in and won't share my emotions so much, but... You know, but my image, I'll be honest, my image means everything to me. And it's not a perfect image. It's always a learning and a growing, you know, image. You know, I mean, I don't have all the answers, just like asking you about branding. Please explain to me, Josh, how TapTap is branded well if people don't know them in Seattle. Well, you answered that. You know, so just in this conversation today, I learned something. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, branding, man. You say that, you say a name, somebody's going to know you, you know? Because if you say Lady Flava online, there's tons of people that will say they know me, you know? So I didn't really quite understand that concept, but I understand it better now, you know? So I think that it's these type of conversations, I'm glad I started it, you know? And like I told you before, Josh and TC and... You know, to those that are listening and know me, I have so many sidebar conversations with artists, you know, and we go through all kinds of, you know, pros and cons of what it is and you know, what their experience. And I'm like, you know, let's bring it to the air. You know, there's a whole lot of people out there bad-mouthing indie artists and underground artists. They won't have nothing to do with them. And the reason being is because, you know, they're... you know, their product's not put together well, you know, and so do you turn your backs on them when you know that they have a talent, or do you try to, you know, educate them? You know,
no,
I guess I'm at the point
where... You have to educate them.
I think that's where I'm at, is I'm willing to educate. If they're not willing to take it, then that's on them.
Right,
you know?
But you've done everything that you can to facilitate their learning, and so they choose not to take that opportunity, and that's not on you.
And that's a beautiful thing in retrospect also, because if they're not taking your cues and learning from what you're offering and continuing to make their own mistakes, they've done you a great favor. They've invited themselves to get out of the way. And I love people do that. It makes life so much easier for me when you don't have to deal with their wants, desires, and needs, which are not fruitful for you. It's like Josh is saying, you know, he knows, I think that we both know that Seattle's getting ready to get a big boost here in the next 3 to 4 months because it sounds kind of unrelated, but it's all together. Soundgarden is in the studio recording a new fresh track album. So when that happens, you're going to get a lot of session musicians, you're going to get a lot of A&R people flooding the area. You're going to get a lot of private shows. Yeah, Soundgarden is rock and roll and grunge, but you have to understand, not everybody can sign the next Soundgarden. So they're going to be looking for the next country act, the next pop act, the next R&B act, the next on the verge, maybe who's hot here, who's ready, who's not, who are we going to pass over. let's run, let's go to Vancouver. Trust me, that's going to happen here this winter, and it's going to be huge for those who understand how to capitalize on it in the Northwest. For folks,
that's right.
folks who don't, duck and run. You know, if you got plans to do New Year's in Vegas, have a great time. If you have plans to attend a private show that probably will happen probably the second or third week of December for Soundgarden, good for you. You're going to be in the right room at the right time. Don't mess up. This is your chance. And just kind of be on top of it. And there's always something like that going on, but you got to know where it's going on at, and you got to be ready to take advantage of it. Right now what's going on is your show. Your show is a place for people who want to take the next baby step and get just a little further ahead, learn a little something they didn't know. They need to be here on Mondays. It helps.
I don't say that I know everything. I don't. I'm here, you know, like I said, I learned something new today. You know, so I don't know everything, but I'm blessed that there are people in my circle, you know, across the world that have, you know, the answers or something to share on the subject that we talk about. And I think that once, you know, we kind of, this is the fourth show, this is the fourth artist roundtable, and, clearly there are people that come back that have been, you know, here from the first shows to, you know, new people that come by. And the reason why, you know, I did, you know, the two time frames, you know, alternating Mondays is to give more opportunity for more people to get involved. You know, I got a message today that Flane from the UK was listening to the earlier part of the show. You know, so, I mean, it's just like the first show we had, you know, Chameleon that called in from Switzerland, you know, so this is something that's reaching global. I will have to tell you, Josh, you know, in what you shared today makes me even more determined to figure out a way to bring attention to the Pacific Northwest. Because I totally understand why you guys are stepping outside of here. Totally understand it, but somehow I can't say that I'm going to do it till I'm old and gray, because I'm, you know, older and I'm already gray. But
you've already accomplished that goal, right?
Yeah, before even I started any of this. But you know, I feel like that's just part of one of my goals, is I've got to figure out how to, you know, shine the light on some very, very deserving artists right here. The other thing is that what I want to accomplish through Flava News is, you know, I want to hopefully create a financial foundation, because I do know that some of the issues that the artists have is the lack of finances. You know,
sure.
So that's something that I hope to maybe create. And then, you know, lastly, you know, as you know and you see me post about Unleash the Brilliance, it's really important to me that it's a dream of mine to create a mentorship program between artists and youth. And I think that if the youth can find a way to creatively express themselves and the things that they're going through, you know, and to get some appreciation around creativity, that can change the whole mentality. Because I don't know if artists really realize the power that they have in what they create, you know, because we can listen to a song and it'll take us, either feed our mood or can help take us out of our mood, you know.
Yeah.
So, or even with a book or a poem that we hear or a picture that we see, you know. So artistry is very, very powerful in tapping into our emotions. And so I really, really am pushing. I'm hoping, you know, excuse me, that I can get more artists involved in my Unleash the Brilliance project, where I'm working towards putting together a chat book of pieces, you know, written by a variety of artists. It could be poetry, lyrics, letters, you know, short stories that kind of, you know, express the concerns that young people face, to helping them come up with a resolve. And then I'm also putting together a CD, you know, with pieces hopefully along the line. I am so very excited. I just got the okay this morning from the artist, Sophia May out of the UK. If you saw me post a video called Believe, she's given me permission to use that for my project. So I'm so excited, you know. And the funny thing is the artists in the UK are the first ones that have reached out to me and sent me product for my project. But it's something I really believe, you know, that art can really honestly change how we think and how we feel about relationships and life and that. And so, you know, I'm pushing for that too. But we've got 5 minutes left in the show. And, you know, this was a different conversation, but I appreciate the conversation at the same time. You know, we started out with Paul Jackson, who is a videographer from right here in Seattle, Washington. He's more into the technical thing, and he's very involved with a variety of projects here in Seattle, too. Then having this conversation with Jazzy Blue out of Iowa, you know, and what she sees and what catches her attention when it comes to artists, you know, and how they present themselves and brand themselves, to having this great conversation with UTC and Josh, you know, from Lynx Records. So I really, really thank you, you know, for taking the time, because, you know, I do think that it's an important conversation for us to have. And so, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it, and, you know, hopefully people will keep coming and keep sharing. And, you know, from these conversations, I hope that we can learn and grow, you know, and take
absolutely
things to the next level.
Cool, cool. So, well, yeah, I definitely think that this is a great thing for not only, you know, us in the industry. You know, I learned a lot from TC today, you know, and Lady Flava, you know, talking back and, you know, back and forth a little bit over the last couple months. You know, you guys are a great resource for people. Like, I don't know everything either. You know, and TC doesn't know everything, and Lady Flava doesn't.
Absolutely.
You know, and Tyrone doesn't, who's the CEO of Lynx Records. You know, but if we can all get together, you know, and have these discussions, it's great for us as businesses, and it's great, and it's even better for the artists, you know, to listen to an actual discussion, you know, with people that know what they're talking about. You know, and I can say I truly, truly appreciate this whole platform. I think it's great. And I will be back the next time you're on in the morning.
Okay,
as
sounds
will,
good.
As will I. And Josh, you
well,
can
I appreciate
contact
it.
Anytime.
So maybe
I'm sorry,
you and Josh, why don't the two of you give your online, where people can find out more about you online and you know, connect with you if they're wanting to.
For
go ahead, TC.
I'll take you first. My my football player just walked in, so I got to go take care of him. I'm on the radio, kid. You can always contact me at TC Thinking Caveman, which I'm getting ready to switch to just Thinking Caveman on Facebook for right now, and that'll give you an introductory contact for me. You guys can contact me anytime with just about any question. If I got an answer, I'll give it. If I can point you in a direction, I will. And, Josh, I'll talk to you soon. When you see me, you'll remember me.
We will definitely link up, my friend.
All right, brother. Later.
All right. Thank you,
CC. All right. And then you can find me on Facebook as well, Josh Man Rock, 3 words, or josh.parkerson, P-A-R-K-E-R-S-O-N, at Yahoo. That's just my regular email. Kind of like TC. If you have any questions, if you just want me to, you know, listen to a track and critique it, I'm an artist, so I've been there. I've, you know, got lots of engineering and producing experience, and like I said, we're charted nationally. So if you have any questions, please, you know, give us a call or, you know, hit us up with the email, because, you know, we're a record company. So, you know, if you want to even send us a package with your music, you know, we're always open to new artists, and we're always down to help the community. Always. Our people is what makes us strong, for sure.
Wonderful. And I will have to say, you know, again, Lynx Records is the whole package. They don't, you know, they don't, I was going to say scrimp. That's not even a word, is it? They don't, you know, they don't cut corners when it comes to what they're doing. Not, you know,
no.
In person, when their artists are out and about to, you know, what they're doing online. You know, they're not cutting corners at all. They are a quality product all the way around. So I have much respect for, you know, Tyrone Bradley and Lynx Records and the whole Lynx Records team out of Tacoma, Washington. So I'm very proud to be able to say that I know all of you and, you know, that you are from my region, the Pacific Northwest. I appreciate TC. You know, he is my mentor. He's been in my life since back in the days of Flavor Coffee House. He's been watching me for a while before he started reaching out and, you know, and stepping up and wanting to help me take things to the next level. So until we meet again, come back next Monday. You know, we're going to do it at 5:30 next Monday. Spread the word. You know, let's get more artists. It's not all about just recording artists. It's about anybody, artists, you know, visual to, you know, literature to, you know, poetry, whatever it is, you know, come put it on the table with us at the Artist Roundtable. So thank you so much to all of you that hung out in the chat room with us today, to those that listened live, and to those that come back and check out the archives. This show actually had a great listenership, and I really, really appreciate, you know, the numbers that I'm seeing for this particular show and even the past show. So, again, thank you. Thank you so much, Josh, for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate you. So,
you're absolutely
anyway.
Welcome, Lady Flava, and we all feel the same way about you.
All right, darling. So until we meet again, we'll talk to you later. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.